I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you this morning. You can call us at 801-575-8255 or you can text us at 57500. A bit of a shortened show this morning to make way for the semi-annual general conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Our conference coverage will begin at 9:30. So if you have questions, now is the time to call. And again, those numbers to call 801-575-8255 or you can text us 57500. Back to our phone lines this morning, and Kimball is on the line. Good morning, Kimball. What is your question?
Good morning. I have a golden delicious apple tree that's absolutely delicious, makes excellent cider, and it's about 40 to 50 years old, and the branches tend to be dying. I've seen this before on a red delicious that I had just east of it, and I think it starts with little rust spots on the leaves, kind of little red spots, and then just randomly branches start to die. And the red delicious that was killed, I think, by the same thing before, ultimately had giant mushrooms on the trunk when it was dead. I'm just trying to make sure, see if there's anything that I can do to salvage this golden delicious.
Well, the problem you're going to run into is that the tree is kind of past its prime, and so the money you would invest trying to save it, you might be able to buy three or four new trees of the same golden delicious apple. You know, genetically, they're exactly the same. And so what I would do, though, before you turn it into firewood, is take a picture of the leaves or maybe take a sample and find out when the USU Botanical Center is doing their Master Gardener Diagnostic Clinic, and bring some branches in, let them look at them under the scope, because there are a lot of things that could be going on. You know, woolly apple aphid, spider mites. There's a new apple leafhopper this year. There's rose or green apple aphid. There's so many things out there. It could be that you may be able to save the tree. But pretty much what you've told me is, doctor, I've got a headache. Why? And there's just a lot of investigation that needs to be done. But the first step is getting some samples over to the Botanical Center so they can look at them.
So when you say that the tree is past its prime, can I anticipate most trees only lasting, I mean, not, I shouldn't say only, I mean, 30 to 50 years is a pretty good lifespan. But, I mean, I've heard that some trees can last way beyond that.
Well, every time I hear somebody like, oh, I've got trees that the pioneers planted, and they're like apples or peaches, and I'm like, right. And so I have seen some apple trees make it to 80 or 100 years. But it's 1 in 500. You know, in an orchard situation, the commercial guys rip those out every 25 years. But in a homeowner situation, an apple, you know, 30 to 50 years. But they just get to a point to where they are less able to fight off diseases and pests because of their age. Okay. And that tree could be hitting that. And it's not, I'm not saying you need to immediately take it down. But what I might do is try to nurse it along for another 5 to 10 years if you can. But plants, if you love that golden delicious, just go grab some and plant some more and get them established. So when this one is just at the point that financially it's not worth trying to maintain, or there's an internal disease that you can't get rid of, you've got two more trees that will be there to replace it.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your call this morning. Next listener, Ton, says, is there anything that they should prune in the fall? They've heard that some fruit trees should be pruned in the fall to encourage a different type of growth.
No, you should not be pruning your fruit trees in the fall unless it's dead or diseased wood, or there's for some reason a branch creating a danger that, you know, someone's going to rack their head on it if they try to mow under it, or it's obscuring a view out into the road. Mm-hmm. but you don't prune your fruit trees in the fall. It's just put the pruners away, give them to the neighbors or someone you know that will safely keep them until mid-February. And
don't make us do an intervention.
Yes, I mean, get a rope and tie your hands behind your back for a while and then get a note from your pastor and your bride that you're safe enough to have your pruners back. But we do not prune fruit trees in the fall.
Okay. And is there anything that should be pruned in the fall?
Perennials. Annuals can come up. And there are a few things out there that you might be able to get away with late fall and early winter pruning. You know, the American Horticultural Society has a great book on pruning, and they have recommendations on some things. I have pruned walnut trees in mid to late November because I didn't have time to do it in the spring, and they came through like a champ. Mm-hmm. And that was when the American Horticultural Society recommended pruning them in northern regions. But in just the rule is, with a very few exceptions, that you do your pruning starting in mid-January on trees in your yard and work through mid-March.
All right. Next listener says they have reseeded several large areas of their backyard and the baby grass is coming up well. How much longer do they need to keep the new grass moist? They've been watering these areas four times a day for 5 to 8 minutes.
They need to back off from that. So
slowly, kind of.
Because the cooler temperatures, the ground is moist. And I would wonder if maybe even once a day would keep it wet. But they hopefully need to keep the ground moist until we get regular rain and snow.
Okay. Scott is on the line in Holiday. Good morning, Scott. What is your question this morning?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Quick questions. Is it okay to prune rose bushes still in the fall as we talk about pruning? And number two, knock out rose bushes. Is it too late to plant those, or am I still okay to plant those?
You're still fine to plant the knockout roses. Now, as far as pruning roses, you only prune them back enough so the snow doesn't split them out.
Okay.
Yep. Otherwise, put your pruners in a safe with a timed lock that won't open until mid-February of next year.
Perfect. Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott, for your call this morning. Pete is on the line in South Jordan. Good morning, Pete. What is your question this morning?
I've got two 25-year-old maples in my front yard. And the last 3 years, it seems like the leaves turn prematurely brown on the edges, and it just gets worse as the time goes on. And this year seems to be even worse, and I've tried really overwatering, not as much, not sure what to do.
Well, deeply watering the trees to a depth of 18 inches every couple of weeks is about all you can do, but 108 degrees in early September doesn't do a maple tree any good. So if they leaf out normally, it's nothing to really worry about.
Okay.
So, but if you are losing limbs, then you could have a vascular wilt disease. But if they're just scorching in late August into September, it's normal for Utah. And it may actually get worse if our temperatures keep rising.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I've been worried about losing them because they're on the south exposure and they help shade the house.
Yeah. And so I think it's just one thing that we're going to be dealing with more of. Deep water them every couple of weeks. You know, even if they're on lawn sprinklers, you know, it will help. But those maple trees are native to an area where they are never over about 90 to 95 degrees. And they have how much higher humidity.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Kate, thanks so much for your call this morning. Next listener, Ton, says they want to purchase a Christmas cactus. Any tips for success?
Just get one.
They're actually pretty easy to grow.
They are.
I have a couple of different types of cactus, holiday cactus, Easter cactus, whatever you want to call
it. So some of the hybrids will repeat bloom through the season. Just get one that looks healthy. It may need to be retransplanted at some point, usually in the spring or summer is when you do that. But you just turn them every couple of weeks, 180 degrees to keep them going. And then when you want them to flower, you put them in a cool area in your house where they get still sunlight. But you want to put them next to a big drafty deck door or big drafty window, because if they need to get below 55 degrees for several weeks to induce flower buds, and once you see flower bud formation, gently turn it at 180 degrees and just keep that up.
All right. Next listener wants to know, is it okay to plant yews now?
It is. Now, if you are in a rural area, if you have livestock around, those ewes are deadly to livestock, and they'll sometimes eat them. And so in that situation, I'd be cautious, but otherwise they're great. I love them, and you can plant them, yes.
All right. We need to take a break. We will come back with your calls. We have a number of callers waiting. Jerry, you're up next. Number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Thanks for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria and Ton with you, taking your questions. You can text us at 57500. You can also call us. Phone lines are really packed right now, so let's get to as many of these calls as we can. Jerry is in Roy this morning. Jerry, what's your question this morning?
Yes, thank you. Is there a difference between the old mechanical lawn aerating machine versus the new they want to put a chemical spray down to aerate your lawn?
Yeah, money and labor savings, and the chemical aeration only lasts for 3 or 4 weeks.
Okay, so it's still better to stick
you
with
always
machine.
Go with mechanical hollow core aeration. I hate to say it, and I'm probably making some people mad, but until I see some further evidence, most of those what we're calling chemical aerators are surfactants that are broken down by soil microorganisms. And so physical aeration is going to last longer and be much more effective. And for me, it's, you know, if a lawn company wants to throw it in their mix with the pre-emergent and the lawn weed killer and the fertilizer and charge an extra 10 or 20 bucks or something, that's fine. It'll give you 6 weeks, but it does not replace physical hollow core aeration.
Wow. I wish it was 10. I'd do it. It's more like 100. So
yeah.
You,
and
man.
At that price, I'd even go to Home Depot and rent my own and then tell the neighbors you've got it and charge them 30 bucks to, or 50 bucks or whatever to aerate their lawns.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
You're Jerry, welcome.
Thanks so much for your call this morning. Let's stay with our phone lines. Gordon is in Vail. Good morning, Gordon. What is your question this morning?
Hey, I live in the desert mountains out by St. George, and I planted a brand new green lawn. It was lush, and it grew great. And I started getting these little spots that they just started dying. And I refertilized or reseed them, and then the whole lawn is now gone. So in 2 years, from green and luscious to dead. And one of my neighbors said, well, it sounds like you got a fungus. And so I'm looking for help understanding what to do.
Have you pulled up on the dead spots to see if the grass is rooted?
No, I haven't done that.
That's the first thing I would do, is to pull up on those spots. If the newly dead pulls up almost like a carpet, or it just comes up really easily, it's probably insect damage and you would use a grub killer. But if it's rooted and you know that it's wet underneath, then it's a fungus. And then you can mail a sample up to the USU Pest Lab to see if they can diagnose which one so that we can get a treatment regimen for you on it.
So is it dead, or will I need to...
What grass did you plant? Is it bluegrass, fescue, Bermuda?
I wouldn't know. I got it from Star Nursery, and it's just supposed to be a water drought
find out. You need to know the species, and we could probably tell from the pictures. I would suspect that it's probably Bermuda or fescue, but the first thing you do is pull up on it, and if it comes up, you know it's a grub killer, and you would put a grub killer in the St. George area if you're about as warm as St. George down sometime in early to mid-March.
Okay. And so if I have, like, one little patch that is still green, so if I pull up on that one, that will tell me.
Not the green grass. You want the recently dead adjacent to the green.
Okay, cool.
If it's rooted, it's probably a fungus. If it comes up, it's an insect.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks, Gordon,
thank you very
for your
much.
Call this morning. And let's go to our next caller, who is Mark in Salt Lake City. And good morning, Mark. What is your question this morning?
Hi. I had a trumpet vine that I dug up and wanted to get rid of. And it came back, so I put some of that clean plant killer on it, and that took care of it for a couple of years. Now it's back again, and I was wondering how you get rid of roots that you haven't been able to get rid of before.
It's kind of like the Hydra from Greek mythology. You cut off one head and five more form. I get your pain. Do not use Tordon on it. If you go to a local retailer, they might tell you to. Tordon will kill other plants that you don't want it to. What you would do is clip the shoots and then dab concentrated Roundup using like a cheap watercolor paintbrush on the freshly cut shoot that you just cut off.
Okay, now I have something to say about the lawns and the water situation. I live in Rose Park, and I didn't start watering until June, and then in the middle of the summer, I only watered it once a week for a half an hour, and it stayed green. So I realize I've actually met people who believe they had to do it every day before the drought. So I'm saying if your lawn gets used to very little water, it's going to stay green.
All right, Mark, thanks so much for your call this morning. Next listener, Ton, says they have a river birch, 25 years old or so. One trunk looks normal. The other looks iron chlorotic. Could this be a disease or insect caused?
Just welcome to the world of river birch. They are susceptible to iron chlorosis, and so they need to start treating because the other trunk may develop that. Make sure that it's deep watered once every 7 to 10 days if it's in the lawn. They don't want to drown it, but it needs water that goes down 18 inches. The grass around there, if they could only water a couple times a week, but deeply, that would help. But I would treat it with chelated iron in late March or early April of next year.
All right, back to the phone lines. Dallas is in Salt Lake City. Good morning, Dallas. What's your question?
Yeah, you guys, I bought about a 7-foot tart cherry tree from a big box store this spring and didn't know where to put it, so I repotted it good and put it on my front stoop, and it got, you know, it was full of fruit, actually, and then I let it dry out in August for probably 2 or 3 days, and within a week, the leaves were dry and crinkly, and I'm like, oh, darn it. And then about 10 days ago, the whole tree started sprouting new green leaves. What's your prognosis, Tom?
Well, it's the wrong time of year for it to be trying to regrow. And what I would probably do is just let it do its thing. And as we get colder into late October, put the tree, make sure that it is watered. And you'll need to water it every 3 or 4 weeks for the winter, but put it in a shed or garage. And then, because that way you're going to avoid a lot of stress on it, and then bring it back out next year in late March and see what it does. It would be better if you could get it in the ground somewhere, but that's what I would do.
Okay.
It may not come back. It may, but if you can get it into a shed to where it is dormant but doesn't get really hit by extreme cold, that's going to be the best chance for it to overwinter.
Okay. Will do. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for your call, Dallas, this morning. I'm going to live dangerously with under 2 minutes and go to Bruce in Ogden. Good morning, Bruce. What is your question this morning?
Yes, good morning. I just had a question. Is it time now that I can transplant my rhubarb and the bigger roots? Can I split those in half and spread those plants out?
Is it still green?
It is.
It's too early. You need to wait until it gets hit by hard frost and then do it.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Any other tips on transplanting rhubarb?
When you divide it, just make sure you get a good section of the plant that's 3 or 4 inches wide and leave as much of the root on as you can. And when you cut it apart with a pair of hand shears or, you know, garden shears or something so it's a sharp cut. Mm-hmm. And then just plant it back at the same depth that it was when it was planted.
All right. A shortened edition of the KSL Greenhouse Show this morning. We will be on with you until 9:30. At that point, we will begin our special coverage of General Conference. So just a few minutes left of the show to get your calls in. Don is up next when we come back. Other than that, the phone lines are open. You can call us 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. You can also go to the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page right now and find out more about the plant of the week. This morning's plant of the week was a bush called the Purple Pillar Rose of Sharon. You can find out much more about that. And you can also see the videos that we've posted on the edible demonstration garden up at the Botanical Gardens. I'll check that out as well. We'll be right back following the news.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.